sure that this is going to just knock your socks off, take you by surprise. Your insert probably is not much value to you this morning. Somebody changed the message slightly since Maria printed the bulletin on Friday night. We are going to be in Romans chapter 15 and in and out of it. But I'm sure glad you're here. It's been an exciting week. And I'm not really sure how to start. I suppose we ought to start with prayer. Is that a good idea? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you. The things that you bring us into, or that rather that you bring to us, we give you thanks. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the way that you apply it and somehow hold me together to be able to share. It's an amazing experience. But through it all, we want to glorify you. It's our desire this morning to raise our voices to your name. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I've talked about this for so long that I didn't think I'd be emotional. I'm not that kind of a guy to have tears. But let's read, because this is the passage that we're going to be covering, only we're covering it differently this morning, from verse 7 down through 13. And the Bible says, Romans 15, 7, "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name.'" Again it says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with this people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, add his blessing as we consider his word this morning. I've already told a few of you that this morning, after this full week with the 4th of July and all, it's not uncommon when missionaries come that we hear about their experiences in their foreign land or on the mission field. And the message has changed a bit because I'm going to give a mission report today and what happened on a mission field. So, the priority of our welcome. I'll tell you how this started. For some weeks, perhaps months, I have been praying, frustrated that I didn't know how, or I couldn't find an effective way to reach people around me, to go over to the ball field and be among the people and yet walk away thinking, what did I accomplish? I brought a presence there. I was there. Kathy and I had walked over. We were there and we had discussions with people, but what impact was that? I don't know. And I've been praying, Lord, give us a key. What is it that we can do, that we can be, and have a witness to the people around us? How can we do that? Well, I'd like to give you a mission report on how God answered that prayer. And the reason I am doing that goes back to, well, what we just read, but also to Psalm 34. And it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt the Lord together. The Lord heard my prayer and answered me. That's in the Psalms. The Lord heard and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So let us exalt his name together is the theme of the message this morning. It's not about me, but it's about my experience. But it's not about me. Some of you had a great experience in being in the community and being a witness to young people who were racing their derby cars on Thursday. And that's great. Out there doing what God gave you to do. Using your abilities and your sense of humor, I hope, in the heat. But being out there with those kids, parents, however that worked out. I was still a little bit stuck. God, you want us to praise you, glorify you. Okay, Thursday morning, I just felt somebody needed to be here. So I was the one. And people started coming. I still was stuck. How do you make the connection from being a pastor to people coming in? Their main objective is getting in the water down at the river. That's why they're coming. I could have set up a booth right there at the front of the church and said, you have to pass by here and hear this short little message. But I didn't. So what's the key? How can I get next to them? What I do when I prepare a message and I take the text out of the Bible, and a lot of us have the NIV. I like other translations also, but the New International Version is pretty common in the church. And so I start with it. And I printed out the verses, and I went to another translation, printed out the verses, and I've got six or so of them here. So I decided, why don't I start by just reading through the first parts of these copies of this passage in Romans chapter 15. And so I read in the NIV, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Boy, that's good. So we know that we are to bring praise to God. This acceptance is to bring praise to God. An American Standard says, therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us, to the glory of God. There it is again. God's working in order to give himself glory, to bring honor to the creator of this little speck that's in this huge universe. The God of the universe. Then I read in the New King James, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us. Okay, a little bit different. Received instead of accept. receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Again, to the glory of God. And then I read in the ESV, the English Standard Version, therefore, welcome. Got me like this when I read it. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. I thought, that's it. That's it. That's the key. That's what we'll do. I'll do. On 4th of July, we had Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we had hundreds of people come through here. Was it you, Rick, that said you counted 105 cars at one time? And they were coming and going, and that was one day. And four people to a car average. There were some kids riding in trailers also on top of their rafts. So how many people was that? How many people came through here? And so God put it on my heart, because I'm to welcome them. What do I do? How do I do that? I would try to catch them as they were unloading. And they have their big, boy, those paddle boards have become so popular, but they take up so much room. And so they have to bring either a pickup or a trailer to haul these things in. And they're pulling them out, and I walk up to a family group or a friend group, and I say, hello, well, welcome to Crouch Community Church. We're happy to give you access to the river. Okay, now there was a key. They wanted access. I wrote something down in my notes, and I think maybe there was a blank. I don't know how to keep this in order, but I drew attention to the access to the river, and I told them that we were happy to have them here. And there's something that people have run into in the valley, and I'm not knocking anybody. If a private landowner wants to do whatever with his land, that's fine. We had someone come, and Kathy and I were here, and a fella came in, and he was from up or down the river, a neighbor of some sort, and he said, I'm here to warn you. I think you ought to shut down your river access, because all you're going to have is a whole lot of trouble. And he had reasons that he would want to shut down the river. And when he left, I knew his purpose for being here is a whole lot different than the church's purpose. We're not to be turning away people, we're to be welcoming them. And I suppose he thought, and people get a notion about people that are going to be here in large groups, that probably the bulk of them are going to be troublemakers. These are the best people. They are so cool to be around. To walk up to them and say, welcome. I'm glad we can offer you the access to the river. There's a couple things about that. We are giving you access. And I was asked, are you the owner? No, I'm the pastor. Oh. But I tell them, you know, we're happy to give you the access to the river, but there's an access that we want you to know that's a higher, higher priority, most important. You need to know about the access to heaven. And I had these. Take it. And they did. One person, when I just offered it to the, after, you know, walking up to a crowd like that, there's going to be one person who turns and says, oh, I'm going to relate to this guy. And so I relate to him. And I, for the most part, I just talk to the men. But there's kids, there's women, there's the men, and I talk to the men, and I say, I'd like you to read this. A little booklet tells you about knowing Christ as the access, the way to heaven. They're not interested in hearing about theology, but they are interested in their personal destiny. And so in saying, we're talking about heaven here, and if you don't go to heaven, you know that's not good. And so they're anxious to hear that. And there were people, young men especially, that would take maybe this one, may I ask you a question, or this one steps to peace with God. They'd take it, lean against the truck, and start reading. Who would have thought? Just give them a little booklet. I'm encouraged in giving a booklet, a little tract, because one of my Bible school teachers, when he was studying to be a doctor and he was teaching school to support himself, was given, just a tract, 4 things God wants you to know. And he took that home and he read that little booklet, that little piece of paper, and he accepted Christ. He went on to become a missionary in India, and when he retired from that, he became a Bible school instructor. That's where I got to know him. So that little tract is powerful because it holds, it contains the Word of God. It has the Bible verses in it, and it has a prayer in it, that if that fulfills the desire of your heart, pray it. One of the things our scripture says is that just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth. That stood out to me. Christ welcomed us and he became a servant to the Jews. Is there anything in our mission field that could correlate with that? Service. Different people have different ideas of how to use the property or how to fund various things. And I'm not knocking any suggestions. I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from. I think we're here to serve, and that we can offer things. When I was a rural missionary and would help someone on a ranch, I never took pay for it because I wanted them to know I'm not here to gain any advantage from you. I've come to bring you a message, and I don't want to make that line blurred at all. And when people come here, I don't want to charge them. I don't want to say, you can only use our facilities, use this parking area, if we can obtain the money for it. So, some of you may have been offended by my sign. That was my sign. I did it. Don't be offended. It's a redneck sign. It's a white piece of plywood with black paint splashed on it that says, donations, welcome. And some person came by and he said, is that for the church or someone just put that up? So I had to identify it a little better. And put the money through the pickup window. It's secure. I was sitting out there on the deck one day, and you know, if you remember, you were at the annual meeting, and did we talk about this? Someone needs to make some container for donations on the 4th of July. Nobody did. There's one out there with 4 wheels on it that locks. and roll down the window about so far, and they can put money in. You know how much money in 3 days we got? Just by people. This is amazing. They'd come up and say, I appreciate you letting us use this. Because people either feel that they've been welcomed, they're invited, or they feel neglected, or they feel rejected. And many of them have been in situations where they've been rejected. And they say, if you accept us, we are very grateful for that. We are so grateful that the biggest bill was $50. But she wanted change. So she put in 20. But that was the biggest bill. But in those 3 days, it totaled $300. Just dropping it in on the pickup seat. Cool. Because what they were saying is, we are thankful to this church for welcoming us. You had a ministry of having cars out here. People that have come here for years would say, I've never seen it so busy. And people pumping up their inner tubes and their rafts and all these things. And some of the families, I'd say, are you guys going down to play bumper cars? Because the river was so full of aired up material. It's cool. It's cool. Because they felt welcomed, they would receive the message. There was one time when I talked to a group of people, a family or friends, but there was probably 10 or 12 in the group, and I gave the tract to one of them. And I said, well, I had a whole handful of them, and I said, well, does anyone else here want one? And this was the person that had responded to me, and so I talked especially pointedly to him. And does anyone else want one? And a young man said, yeah, I'll take one. And I gave him one. Said, anyone else? And I looked right at one of the gals, early 20s, and she said, no way, sir. Well, you don't get one. But not everybody out of those hundreds of people were wanting a tract, but there was always one person in the group that would respond and become that door to the whole group. So Jesus became a servant with a spirit of service to accept and welcome these people. So the welcome of Christ included the element of service. It's not for our boasting, though, but for God's glory. It's a way for us and for the people who come to give praise and thanksgiving. And the welcome in our passage, the welcome of Christ, it's going to be hard for you to follow, isn't it? The welcome of Christ was extended to the Gentiles. Now, to the Jewish people, the Gentiles were outcasts. They were the untouchable. They're the people we don't associate with, I would imagine. And I had to remind myself that these people, a good portion of them are unsaved that came here. Some of them were pastors or church members down in the valley, and that was so cool. Here, I'd like to give you this tract. You have access to the river. I'd sure like you to know about the access to heaven. He says, I'm a believer. Save it for someone else. That was so cool. But watching the cars and a line of cars, about 4 o'clock they'd start leaving, and there'd be a line back here, and they're headed south. They're headed to town. And I think, where are they going? I kind of have an idea. And what's going to color their evening, I wonder? God, can you break through that? Can something that goes on for an afternoon here, can that still be affecting them when they go to their other church? To their bar? Saloon? Can you still? He's not limited. He's not like a lady that used to go to church here, used to say, you know, you got to stop on the yellow lights in Boise because if you keep going, your angel stopped back there at the yellow. And God's not limited that way. When they leave the property, the Holy Spirit doesn't stay here. He's convicting and moving them as they go. And I was concerned about that. But what does God do? He reaches out to the people that were the Gentiles, to the Jewish nation. And that's what they are. There's Jews and Gentiles. But the outcasts, he reached out to them. Why? What does the Bible say here? That the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. God shows mercy to people that sometimes people leave behind, that sometimes Christians neglect. God shows mercy. So I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. These Old Testament quotes, God was doing it all down through the ages. Rejoice, O Gentiles, and with his people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. Oh, man. We don't know what is going to come of this week. That's not about what I did. I was one that was privileged to meet with a whole lot of people. But I came in one evening, I think it was probably on the 4th, and told my wife, I just love those folks. They're precious. They're cool. They're blowing up their flotation devices, and they listened. They came with one intent, and God said, I'm here too. I'm not sneaking up on them. You just go boldly and say, welcome. To people that had been told, get out of here. Jesus spoke of other sheep that would be included in his flock and his care. The other sheep were the Gentiles. The other sheep are us. Welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you. We live new lives in Christ, and we live with gratitude. People came and used the property, had access to the river, and they were grateful. They were very thankful. So they gave us an opportunity to praise the Lord, to praise him with the hope that a word spoken in season will result in fruit to the glory of God. May the God of hope, the Bible tells us, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the saying doesn't belong to me, but I quote it often. It can become yours too. We don't see the results necessarily right now, but eternity will tell. It's not up to us to bring about the fruit. It's up to us to share it. Share the seed, share the word, and God will bring about the fruit. Lord bless you. Father, we thank you that it is your work we have the privilege of sowing the seed and watering that seed, and you bring the increase. We pray that we might be encouraged today. Whatever part you give us, however you've gifted us to speak to neighbors, to speak to those that we might barely know, but to share the goodness of the gospel, good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, his power to forgive through his death and resurrection. We thank you for that hope, for all that you've freely given us. In Jesus' name, amen.